your host and your friend and your pal, Sam Yunan. This is episode 3 of My Pal Sammy, a podcast miniseries documenting my 2018 Christmas break. It's December 26, 2018, Boxing Day. So I guess cue the classic Fight Club speech. Advertising has us chasing cars and clothes, working jobs we hate so we can buy shit we don't need. We're the middle children of history, man. My delivery is not quite as Brad Pittish as I would like. It was a really solid movie, actually. I'm gonna throw that on the watch list for this Christmas break, but I got a lot of other stuff on the list, so I don't know if I'll get to it. But yeah, basically every Christmas break, I pantsless sit and watch and absorb a lot of pop culture. And then I have tea and I think a lot and I write a lot. So this time, just kind of stay sharp. I'm recording a handful of My Pal Sammy episodes. This is my captain's log, an audio diary, a journal of some of the pop culture I've been consuming and some of the stuff I've been thinking about over my 2018 Christmas break. Tonight's tea selection is Twinings. Yo, classing it up with the little pinky finger out. Twinings Scottish breakfast. And yesterday, Christmas Day, in between the fam jam and the Santa love, Santa actually came. He was really good to me. I watched Avengers Infinity War. It was specifically broadcast on Netflix. Avengers Infinity War should probably be one of the last Marvel movies on Netflix before that streaming party heads to Disney. I think we get a Punisher series, like another season of Punisher, and that's probably going to be about it. I think all the other Netflix Marvel shows are canceled. I hadn't seen Avengers Infinity War since I saw it in the cinema. Somewhere early in the run. It was released April 27, 2018, earlier this year, and I don't remember when I saw it, but I really dug it. I thought it was one of the strongest Marvel movies. It had enough darkness and stakes. That's what appeals to me, the darkness and the stakes. I get frustrated with a lot of these superhero movies because and Infinity War fell into the same problem that all the Marvel movies have, which is that they show me the actor's face. I don't want to see the face. Like, Spider-Man has a full mask, and there's a reason why he has a full mask. Iron Man has the armor head helmet thing or whatever it is. And it's like, look, I understand. Part of it is you're paying these actors an exorbitant amount of money, and so you want to get the maximum thing. And but because it's a blockbuster, to me, the stakes drive the emotions. If you present high stakes and having a bad guy like Thanos, who's collecting the stones to form the Infinity Gauntlet and can snap away reality and erase half the population on all kinds of planets. Those are high stakes. That drives the emotion. It's weird because in a way, like, I don't know if this is actually true or not, so I'm just going to throw it out there, but it's like, I would assume that part of being in, like, the army, or like being an astronaut, or those high kind of pressure situations that are like life and death, like literally life and death. Being a police officer, you have an avid poker face. It's almost like you're not conveying emotion in a way, but your hamster wheel is running. The stakes should drive the emotions. It's a petty thing. Maybe it's splitting hairs. But it's something that does bother me. It's a weird thing, too. Social media is kind of, especially Twitter, it's really gotten obnoxious where it's hard to kind of be critical. Either critical thinking, like critically thinking, or criticize movies like The Avengers for what people, a lot of people view as dumb things like, don't show me your face. It's this idea, it's kind of rooted in this idea that, like, somebody really likes it and you don't want to trample on their feelings or their emotions, or, you know, you want to respect their, but it's, that's weird. Because for every movie that I really like, somebody else doesn't like it, and then there's another group of people who just find that movie meh. So there's no, my verdict, my annoyance with showing me the face, it doesn't impact or shape or sculpt your view or your enjoyment of Avengers Infinity War. If you like the face, if you enjoyed the movie, go nuts. This is me. That's it. But if it was up to me, and if I had the Infinity Gauntlet, damn straight, those masks and helmets and everything else would be on. It really is like a nerd property when you think about it. I mean, the other thing that goes on social media where people get really, really upset is spoilers. And spoilers are really about the illusion of control. That's what it boils down to. It's the idea that, like, I want to be on Twitter and I want to be on Facebook, but I want to control what I see and what I consume. And that, it's... in theory, it's a great idea. The reality is, you have people like me on there. And who are like, their face is dumb. I don't want to see your face. I want to see your helmet. I want to see your full Spider-Man mask. I think that was one of the big takeaways I had this time watching Avengers Infinity War. Is how much Thanos kind of represents us. And I actually kind of sided with him a little bit. He didn't seem... In most comic books, most big stories, the bad guy's trying to take over something, like Joker's trying to take over Gotham. Or they're conquering the universe or something, right? Those kind of cliches. It's not actually kind of accurate, but just go with me for a moment. And Thanos, in his weird way, was trying to make things better. It's actually no different than what the Avengers were trying to do, just trying to make things better. Their methods were just... well, his methods, I guess, were just wrong because it would have just eliminated so many people. But then the counter argument to him is that Thanos was initially shown to be going around conquering planets. So he was doing the hard work. And he was going around and executing and slaving planets and doing all that kind of stuff. And he just basically realized that the Infinity Gauntlet would be a way to automate this. But not just automate world conquering, but also make it almost fair, from his perspective, make it almost fair that when he snapped his fingers, half of everything would be gone. Half of everybody would be gone. It's like that Shirley Jackson book, The Lottery. I guess the analogy for Thanos is like Batman and Spider-Man and whatever. Like, you have cops, and cops are entrusted with the law. They have authority. They are part of a system of judges. And they go around and they enforce the law, and they arrest people, and they keep law and order. That's what they do. But then comics is rooted in the vigilante, the Batman, the Spider-Man, who operate outside of the law. But they also, because of their powers, can do things that the law cannot do. A cop can't face the Joker or Dr. Octopus. So I get it. I'm supposed to, I guess in a weird way, hate Thanos or recognize he's the bad guy. But it's a harder, it's not as clear cut. This is especially after, like, the Marvel Universe, the way it's set up, which is, like, shortly after Civil War. Which is Captain America on one side and Iron Man on the other. And that, to me, was a real, you could pick different sides. With, I think they were called the Accords or whatever. That made sense. And those were like, well, you can listen to both sides and figure out where you want to be on either side of those things. And ultimately, Avengers, like, I don't want to sound like I'm a jerk face or whatever, but like the Avengers were right to stop Thanos because he ended up snapping his fingers. He ended up collecting all the stones and snapping his fingers, and he erased half of everybody and everything. And that sucks for a lot of people, for a lot of races, for a lot of things. So maybe, I guess I'm more questioning Thanos' methods, but certainly his, for a bad guy, his motivations, his motivations were definitely kind of like, I can think of what's like the best analogy. It's like when somebody wants to get you something really special and, it's like they almost like rob a bank or something to do it. I guess I just described the plot line for Dog Day Afternoon. Wasn't it to like rob a bank so they can pay for a sex change operation? That's a random reference. I guess that's wrong. But at the end of the day, it's love. I guess what makes it so wonky is how badly people love each other, right? When you get down to it. I don't think Thanos saw himself as evil. I thought he saw himself as doing a loving thing, as doing the right thing. I think that's what makes it so complicated. I like this stuff. I like these kind of superhero stories where it's not clear cut. It's not something like the Punisher where, like, you know, he'll go kill a pimp or something who's, like, pimping underage girls or something like that. That's evil. That's wrong. And you kind of like, yeah, when the Punisher takes out that bad guy. Thanos was like, well, that was wrong, but I don't know. It's like we gotta do a little like superhero huddle and like figure this out. I mean, technically, what he did was murder. If you actually think about it, Avengers Infinity War has like the highest body count out of like all the summer blockbusters. We've sat through like Geostorm. Well, I've sat through Geostorm and Day After Tomorrow. Independence Day had a pretty high body count, I think, when you get down to it. But because Thanos snapped his hand in the Infinity Gauntlet, Avengers Infinity War totally does have probably the highest, like billions of people perished in that movie. So that's a pretty bold distinction. Is some of the stuff dark? I guess it is. This is a tangent, but I have to say, like, science fiction has been good to me. the movies, the books, the TV shows, the comic books, they've taken me on all kinds of adventures, and they let me be a tourist in all kinds of horrible, dark, dystopian worlds, while still remaining the light in this world. My imagination is better, my thinking is bolder. I find some of this inspiring. I could see how people would find this dark, but I find this inspiring. Science fiction has blessed me with significant connections, friendships formed, and hope. I remain as grateful for science fiction and all that has done for me and with me and to me. I thought the opening scene was amazing. This is Ebony Maw's opening speech. This is Hear Me and Rejoice. Listen to this. Look. This is, I guess this is dark now that I think about it. I don't know. You can figure it out. I don't think it's that dark. But this is the opening speech.
Hear me and rejoice. You have had the privilege of being saved by the great Titan. You may think this is suffering. No. It is salvation. The universal scales tip toward balance because of your sacrifice. Smile. For even in death, you have become children of Thanos.
That's crazy. That's amazing. It's convoluted, but Thanos, he's talking about love. This isn't a classic comic book bad guy robbing a bank. You foiled me again. As ugly and as awful as it is, this is how Thanos loves. Some guys show up with chocolates and stuffed teddy bears. Thanos slaughters people to balance the universal scales, and he brands it as salvation. Like, honestly, if Die Hard is a Christmas movie, and I don't know why this was even a debate, but if Die Hard is a Christmas movie, then Avengers Infinity War is a Valentine's Day movie. Yo, light the sandalwood candle. Put on some Barry White. Let's do the Thanos. And that speech is followed on by Thanos saying a great line, which is no resurrections this time. That won't be true because we know there's a Avengers movie coming up called Endgame. But that's a great comic book line. No resurrections this time. When Thanos snapped his hand, the Winter Soldier was the first to go. That was kind of a little sad, actually. I don't think they fully... they've kind of shortchanged him a little bit in terms of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. He's got a really cool backstory with the Ed Brubaker run and stuff like that. I wish that was fleshed out a little bit more. But it is well cast. But he was the first to go. I guess that makes sense. After that, there was a bunch of no-name Wakandans. That makes sense. Thanos said that he would be erasing all kinds of people. Black Panther. But I don't really have... I've read bits and pieces of Black Panther over the years. I really like the Christopher Priest run. But I don't really have a lot of affinity for the character. So, and it was fine. It was only the one movie. I was alright. Didn't make me sad. Didn't make me happy. Just kind of, alright, that makes sense. Groot was next. He was kind of fun. But that one also made sense too, because it just, you show that all life is affected. All alien life is affected. So that made sense. It's the same thing because Scarlet Witch afterwards went and she's technically a mutant. So again, just to show that all life is affected. Her powers are not really clear in the Avengers movies. I don't find like, I don't know if civilians are confused between her and Doctor Strange. Falcon was next. But as opposed to Rhodes' War Machine, you could have taken them both. I'm not really a big fan of Don Cheadle's War Machine. And Falcon hasn't really kind of done much in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. He's kind of him and like Hawkeye. Hawkeye wasn't even in this movie, so it makes sense. I mean, you can't have a guy shooting arrows with all those kind of like alien creatures and all kinds of things happening, whatever. There might have actually been a real reason why Jeremy Renner wasn't in, but Mantis, she added some good levity to the whole Guardians of the Galaxy. Drax, he went out. I was sad to see him go. He went out of failure. He never got the revenge that he wanted on Thanos for killing his wife and his child. So that was even more frustrating. I'm hoping that when Endgame restores him or somehow he comes back. He may not come back. I don't know. I could see some of the deaths being permanent. But he never got his revenge, and that's kind of sad. Star-Lord went next. The Guardians of the Galaxy got hit hard, man. Mantis, Drax, Star-Lord, and then, of course, Gamora died earlier on. It was frustrating, but it was kind of like foreshadowing that the end is nigh for James Gunn and the Guardians of the Galaxy once the kind of nutters got going on Twitter and objected to a handful of random tweets. It is bizarre that, like, people feel comfortable taking tweets out of context and using it to sum up your whole life. Can you imagine, like, pulling a whole handful of tweets and then it's like delivering a eulogy or something out of it? Like, it's bizarre. Guardians of the Galaxy, in terms of the Marvel movies too, was one of the big surprises. I wasn't sure what to expect, and I also didn't have a lot of hope going into it, just because, like, Guardians of the Galaxy also been kind of kicking around a little while, and out of all the movies, that one was a surprise, and that one was a lot of fun. Guardians of the Galaxy, the first one especially, is one of my favorite Marvel movies. Good sci-fi, good ruckus, good soundtrack, well cast, pretty solid. Doctor Strange was the next one, which was interesting for two reasons. One is he actually says to Tony Stark, Iron Man, he says, "We're in the Endgame." I hadn't realized he actually said it in the movie. Endgame is a chess scenario of some kind. I'm not smart enough to do chess, so I don't really know what the word means. And it was also interesting that he died after saying, like, he saw, I don't know how many different possibilities of different ways that they could succeed, and he only saw one way that they could have succeeded. So that's interesting. I wasn't sure if Benedict Cumberbatch would be a good Doctor Strange. But he tends to play like an imitation game Sherlock Holmes. He tends to play the same type of kind of like super cocky, arrogant, almost kind of Tom Cruise-y like character. And Doctor Strange, the way he's played him, has been a little bit, they've added a little bit more humor to it. So that kind of helps balance it out. But yeah, he's been a pleasant surprise, and I hope they can make a couple more Doctor Strange movies with him and Wong. I like Doctor Strange as a character. He's really cool. Last couple of years, Jason Aaron had a fantastic run. Brian K. Vaughan's done some great stuff for Doctor Strange. He's not going to be a flagship character or anything like that. But when people tell good stories, they're really good stories. Spider-Man was a big one. He had the classic iconic moment where I don't feel so good. I don't want to go. See the face. Face is out. His I don't want to go is classic Spider-Man. They've been trying to kill poor Peter Parker. They've been trying to retire him in comics. There was that whole thing with the Jackal and the clone, and they were going to replace him with Ben Reilly or whatever, and then Peter Parker was going to retire. Oh, remember that whole saga? They've even tried bringing in like Miles Morales, and they renamed him Spider-Man, so now there's like two Spider-Mans. They just do dumb stuff like this, trying to get like rid of poor Peter Parker. It's that Parker luck, I guess, still kicking in. I feel bad for the dude. The dude does so much work for New York City, for the universe, and he's just like, Peter Parker is basically Bruce Willis in Die Hard. There's that scene in Die Hard where he's pulling glass out of his feet, and he says to Al, he's like, man, I don't feel appreciated. He's out there taking bullets. He's walking over glass. He's got glass on his feet. And he says, I don't feel appreciated. He's the Rodney Dangerfield of Marvel Comics. Funny thing is, when Peter Parker does go, he's super missed. Maybe I guess that's the whole point. The movie ends with two more people going. Maria Hill and Nick Fury Jr. Yes, I know it's Nick Fury, blah, blah, blah. But it's Nick Fury Jr. Samuel Jackson. Both are really well cast, actually. The Maria Hill lady, I don't remember her name off by heart. But she's good, Maria Hill. Like, it works. They cast it well. I really like how when the movie ended, when it finished, you know, when you watch like an Iron Man movie or a Captain America movie, after all the credits and the stingers and all that stuff, there's a little line that says Captain America will return in Avengers or something, or Iron Man will return in Iron Man 3 or something. This one, when it got to the end, it said Thanos will return. I thought that was really cool. I guess that's really what it boils down to, though, is that especially in Christmas, because we just had Christmas and we had Boxing Day. And just to go full circle back to what Thanos was doing, I guess we just don't love properly, or we love badly. And sometimes maybe we just do the best that we can. I like how the movie ended with Thanos fulfilling what he said he would do, his destiny, and that after he snapped his fingers, he just sat there in his chair and he watched the sunset. And he saw what he did, and it was good. He was happy. He was satisfied. But while he loved what he did and what he had achieved, the price, the cost of it, upset so many people. I don't know. There's no funny when we give Christmas gifts, you know, especially when you give a crappier gift or something maybe a little bit more cheap than you expected or whatever, the way that we sell it or the way we cushion it is like the thought, it's the thought that counts. And we do this too in like pop songs, whatever, I'm thinking about you. But thoughts are not always love. Love is a verb, and well, this got really sappy. I probably should release this on like Valentine's Day and show the ladies I'm sensitive. But Thanos had a thought. And then he executed it. And he, the whole time he never questioned it. Because he felt that what he was doing was not only right, but he also felt that what he was doing was loving. Thanos was pitching paradise. Like all those inclusive resorts that show you the crisp, clear blue waters, all the yummy food. But they never show you the obnoxious tourists or the loud drunk guy who saw all inclusive as a challenge to his manhood. It's fascinating Infinity War takes place after Civil War. After the Avengers lost their way and lost their love, Paradise Lost. It's one of the key reasons why they lost so badly. I don't know what the moral of the story is or what's my final point or your moment of zen or whatever you want to call it. Partly because I haven't seen Endgame. Like love and thoughts, it's all incomplete. You know, I don't know how Thanos wasn't scared of success in that it has the potential to breed satisfaction. And when you're satisfied, you're no longer hungry. You're no longer active. You're just done. You just sit in the chair and watching the sunset. That's not a satisfying ending. We make, but we don't really keep New Year's resolutions. That's what we're going to do in a couple of days. And it's because we realize we're unfinished products. I can't imagine that in time, the universal scales would soon become unbalanced again, and that would signal the return of Thanos. You don't just love once, you love ongoing and actively. I am clearly not cut out for this Oprah nonsense. There you go. I kind of veer more towards fortune cookie wisdom. Rather than Oprah-inspired goodness. Thoughts and love. That's kind of it. I mean, you've all, everybody's seen, based on the box office, everybody's seen Avengers Infinity War, so... And this is like months after the thing's been out, so I'm not expecting a lot of revelations or insights. You can have your own. You can share your own just to go full circle back to what I was saying about social media. It's a free country, people. So thank you for listening. The teapot is over, and this was fun. This is Avengers Infinity War is definitely one of my favorite. I think it's up there with Guardians of the Galaxy as like one of my favorite Marvel movies, and I look forward in 2019 to Avengers Endgame. And I wouldn't be surprised if Avengers Endgame ended up killing a few people like Chris Evans as Captain America or whatever. Just the economics of those movies alone. I think after a certain point, you almost have to kill a few people off just to like Scarlett Johansson. I mean, like, she's clearly not making as much as Robert Downey Jr. Iron Man or whatever. It wouldn't make any sense, but at her level and her worth, and her weight, she's still got to be worth a pretty penny. And it's like, I would like dust her off. There's a few like that, that you can probably use to like balance things out, as Thanos would say. No more resurrections this time. You can follow me, you can complain, you can argue on Twitter and Instagram at MyPalSammy, and all of my writings are at MySummerLayer.com. Thanks for listening.